One of the newest hires at your agency could be somebody that hasn't had a job in a long time. The Office of Personnel Management is helping agencies find and recruit people who have not had jobs in a while to help the long-term unemployment rate. Jim Hagee is the director for Deloitte's Department of Defense Human Capital Practice and looking at current human capital management strategies in government, offering suggestions for new ways forward. Jim, it's good to have you on the program this afternoon. What are some of the major challenges that are confronting human capital officials, not just in the defense part of the federal government, but in the civilian agencies as well? Thanks for coming on, Jim.
Thank you, Francis. It's great to be here. I guess I'll start with, you know, Deloitte each year conducts a survey across the globe of all of our clients, both federal and commercial. This year we did it in 2014 with over 2,500 respondents across the globe in 94 countries. And we tried to gauge human capital trends. What are the big issues facing organizations worldwide, including the federal government? I'll share a couple of the highlights from that report. And the survey is public, by the way, so you can go on online and get access to it. The number one talent issue facing organizations around the world is leadership. And 86% of our clients across the globe say that it's an urgent and important issue. And they believe that it's about closing the gap in readiness. And that's preparing leaders and readying them to lead, not just manage and not just direct tasks, but to lead. And I think that was the number one issue that came out. I'll share a few others with you. Another one is learning and preparing for a revolution in learning. You know, in 1999, Cisco CEO John Chambers said that the Internet would transform education so completely that it would make email usage look like a rounding error. And we think that that trend has finally come to fruition 15 years later, putting learners at the center. And we look at the trends in learning around flipped classrooms, explosion of content, and new delivery mechanisms online and mobile platforms. Another is analytics. And we see that the use of data, it's not just about reporting what happened, but it's about predicting performance and workforce needs in the future. So delivering on that big data promise that we've been talking about, that's another big trend that's come. Another is the quest for workforce capability. And there's an expected shortage of 38 to 40 million college-educated workers by 2020. We've got the millennial generation that's going to be taking up 75% of the workforce by 2025. And we see our organizations across the federal government starting to look at talent as a global skills supply chain. That's a little different from kind of the classic workforce planning approaches. So those are just a few of the challenges and the trends that we see emerging in human capital.
All right, a couple pieces I want to pick out of that basket, because I know there are things that we will talk about. I'll be at the Human Capital Management Government event on Thursday. It started today and runs through this Thursday at the Hilton Alexandria Marks Center. The ones that I want to hit on are leadership and the millennials. The leadership issue has been challenging for government, Jim, because for a long time historically, the government's promoted technical experts and not necessarily cultivated leaders. Is that the same thing that you see when you talk to people in the private sector about leaders? I wonder if government's peculiar in that area.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and I don't think government's peculiar in that area at all. I think there is a tendency, especially in highly technical fields, to want to pull up those who know their craft the best into leadership positions, and over time, we see that happening. The challenge, as you point out, is that sometimes organizations get behind on equipping them to operate as leaders as opposed to technicians, and so some of them will kind of elevate to the management level and be able to operate at that level, but there is a difference between a manager and a leader. And I think leaders have a broader perspective, broader responsibility, and the need to inspire the workforce and build employee engagement, establish purpose and passion, and be accountable for results. And so those require different skills, and I don't think it's unique to the federal government that they're faced with this challenge. We see it across the commercial space kind of in spades. So I think you make a good point, and I think it's something that all of our clients are struggling with.
Another challenge that I guess would be a sub-challenge or a sub-bullet to that, Jim, is the idea that not everybody wants to be a leader, and the federal government in some cases has not done as good a job as they could have at developing career paths, career development for people who say, you know what, I like what I'm doing on a technical level, and I'm pretty good at it. And that's what I want to do for the rest of the time that I'm in the federal government. And there are places I could go with that, except their agencies maybe haven't carved out places that they can go and continue to develop and get promotions and have increased responsibilities and so on. Is that another challenge that's common in the private sector too?
It is. Again, we see performance management as being challenged almost systematically, where the classic kind of ranking and performance rating systems are not getting it done and providing the varied career paths for both employees at the entry level, managers and leaders alike. And so we're beginning to see, especially in commercial and also in government, kind of a broader view and a more complete system that's focused more and more on coaching and development, less and less on ranking and rating, and offering multiple career paths for people to progress in careers and advance, not just kind of a vertical pathway to leadership that may not equip people with the right skills and may put them in a place career-wise with that they'd prefer not to be. So we see that, again, a trend of performance management being emerging as with new models and new career paths in place for that purpose.
Jim Hagee of Deloitte's Department of Defense Human Capital Practice. Let's go back to the millennial issue now. And that number that you cited a moment ago is one that I had not heard it before. I've heard the millennial issue presented a number of different ways. 75% of the workforce within the next 10 years?
That's right. We have roughly 34% of the workforce right now is millennials, which is surprising. And that trend's going to continue. This is a very large segment of our workforce that's going to be emerging. And you know, we have the baby boomers that are kind of one of the largest segments right now. They will continue to retire as we expected they would, and they will be replaced with millennials and others. But the millennials will continue to make up an increasingly large portion of the population of the workforce.
I mentioned HCMG, the Human Capital Management Government event that's happening today through Thursday. What do you expect to take away from that, and what do you think that your counterparts who are in government will take away from that when the event wraps on Thursday, Jim?
Well, I began to see some common themes that emerged today, and one of them is that, and this is intuitive to me, but I think human capital is not just an HR issue anymore. It's really a business imperative. And so when we go out and we conduct these surveys, we don't just ask HR professionals. We ask business leaders what they think. And I see that trend emerging here, not only in who's attending, but in what they're talking about and how they're talking about it. This is not about HR. This is about managing the most valuable resource that organizations have, which is their people. And so I think there's been an awakening to that over a number of years, and I think with the fiscal environment the way it is, with the dynamic mission environment the way it is, I think we'll continue to see that trend evolve, and that realization appear, and I think it'll be a really powerful force in allowing and enabling organizations to get the most out of their people, which again is their most important asset.
Well, Jim, I'm grateful for the invitation to come out, not extended by you, but certainly I'll look forward to seeing you at HCMG on Thursday, and thank you for coming on the program today.
Likewise, and thank you for having me.